Warm welcome to Mitt Liv podcast. I'm your host, Sophia Appelgren, and I've been in the middle of those topics now for over 16 years since we founded the company in 2008. And our goal at Mitt Liv is to work for an inclusive society and a labor market that values diversity. And throughout our journey with this podcast, we'll engage in conversations with extraordinary individuals who are reshaping the job landscape for inclusivity. And we will explore how diversity, equity, inclusion, and belongingness not only enriches companies, but also strengthens societies. And together we tackle some of the biggest challenges, we highlight successes and draw inspiration from those leading the charge for a more inclusive and fulfilling professional world. But most important today, we're privileged to have a very special guest with us. Because over our past 16 years, we have heard a lot, we've seen a lot. And I must say that not too many great examples with a genuine and long-term commitment. And with the power of being the doer and not only the talker. So therefore, I'm very honored to welcome someone who is walking the talk with all the challenges and opportunities that DEIB brings. Warm welcome to you, Heidi Robertson, head of DEI at ABB globally, to our conversation about values and purposes and diversity, equity, inclusion and belongingness.
Thank you so much, Sophia. It's a pleasure to be here. And what a warm welcome and a nice introduction. I look forward to our session together today.
Thank you so much. But how are you today? So I'm always curious about what feelings people wake up with.
Yeah, very good question. I thought it would be a very easy morning. I had prepared everything and to be ready for both this session and also the previous 1 hour ago with media in India. But unfortunately, our son woke up and realized that he had a skiing session at school today. And we're wondering where is his boots and how to bring him to the bus and everything. But, you know, we managed to overcome that one and everything is great. You know, so small and big challenges to overcome every day.
Oh, that's wonderful. But I feel very good. But also, I mean, I guess you, like everyone else, sometimes wake up and not have a good feeling or wake up in a bad mood. How do you change your mindset and make your day great again? Do you have any tools to share?
Oh, wow. Yeah, no, I think I am a positive person per DNA and also in terms of my mindset and attitude. And I think it's also about, you know, make it a good day. And it might be raining. It might be a lot on the plate. It might be challenges. But then it's also about looking at what's positive. There are so many positive things also. So rather to look at the glass half full than half empty is a guiding principle. And I'm also trying to teach, people around me, because then it's more fun, of course. And it's a lot more rewarding to both work and private space when you're having a positive mindset. And if there's some challenges, let's not take it too serious. And let's try to solve it with a positive mindset. Yeah, and I always start with a very nice cappuccino, which is my morning routine for many, many years. Double cappuccino with my Swiss coffee machine. So it's setting the stage, you know, with a good start of the morning.
That's wonderful. But tell us a little about the mission of ABB and especially your way of leading the way at ABB. And how are those two connected?
Absolutely. So maybe just starting with the purpose of ABB. So ABB, we enable a more sustainable and resource efficient future with our technology leadership in electrification and automation. And by this, we address the world's energy challenges. We transform industries and we embed sustainability in everything we do. And the link then to my mission is that we believe that our people are the most critical ingredient to our long-term success. And of course, with that comes a culture of diversity, inclusion, and equal opportunity, really the foundation for how we want to progress. So, I think it's important to see this purpose, but then also how is that linked into the culture and into the leadership and into the individuals, and of course, also how we drive our company based on our values, the four values of collaboration, care, curiosity, and courage.
That's great values. And I wonder, who are you behind all this? And I mean, this must be very closely linked, since you are the kind of founder or starter of this initiative at ABB. And what would you say are the milestones in your life that has brought you to where you are today?
Wow, that's big questions, but I have gotten those questions before, and it had made me also reflect on why this is so important to me. And really, I think the basic principle of fairness. I am not able to watch unfair treatment. It's really something very close to my heart, that we are providing equal opportunities, supporting equity, so that we are also providing everyone with the possibility to succeed. And that doesn't mean the equal treatment. It means that we must bridge to get people to a level playing field, to be able to grab the opportunities. But I think that links back to even my childhood. And I was reflecting on this. I always reacted when someone was being bullied or someone was speaking bad about someone. I raised my voice. I pushed back. I stood up. And it was no matter whether these people were bigger or stronger or in different grades or whatever, I pushed back mentally and physically. And it was just an automatic part of who I am, to always stand up. And I think also that's why the ABB values, they resonate so well with me. We have had numerous values across my 23 years at ABB. They've been pending. But this time around, the four values resonate so well, especially the one of courage. Because I think it's so important to have the courage to say what you mean, to speak up for those who cannot speak. And there are many who cannot speak, be it in the kindergarten, be it in secondary school or primary school and so on. And because I feel privileged to have a strong voice and also strong personality to dare to do so, I must take that responsibility and utilize my voice. And I think that has shaped me as a person without me thinking about it. But it has been kind of my trademark wherever I've been, that I needed to speak up. Sometimes you speak up and you're not heard. Now I'm in a position where I can speak up and make sure that I'm heard. And even bigger responsibility comes with that position. So I feel very privileged. I feel humbled. And I really take it serious. Because when you are, you know, you have people's hands in your life, actually. And that's a huge responsibility. And that we need to take full responsibility, very, very important and seriously.
Yeah, but then I'm curious, because there are many out there who want to speak out. What do you think made you be the one speaking up? What did you have around you as a child that made you courage? And what was your most important value, or is your most important value? Bringing this out.
I have and I think there comes back to also the very important message I have to the organization around leadership role modeling, the importance of what you're seeing and what you're experiencing, not what you're saying, what you're doing. My grandmother, 95 years old now, we celebrated her at our house 7th of February, 95 years old. Still vital, still strong, still telling people, you know, if they're not doing the right thing, speaking up for the people in the elderly care house now. She was an incredibly important role model for me when I grew up, always. And she was a teacher in high school for challenged youth. And she took that role so very, very seriously. It was not a 9-to-4 job for her. It was a lifestyle, you know, helping, supporting, bridging, finding solutions, lifting the weak ones, trying to you know, and she has changed lives for sure. And I think that has been forming me, because I'm very close to her. And that has been forming me as a person. My mom, my mother also has a very, very loud voice in terms of speaking up when it comes to unfair. She's never been afraid. And I think those two, of course, it's what I grew up with, I've seen, and it's forming me as well, and maybe in a different way, but still with this kind of thinking that we have a voice, we must use it, and we must use it smart to the greater good for the people around us.
And if you would pick like one value that you can maybe see as a red thread through life, what would that value be?
Yeah, it would be courage, as I mentioned. Yeah, courage. And I think I would actually say three of the four, because they're interlinked. So care and courage, and that goes hand in hand for me. So if you have the courage to speak up, you also must have the ability to care and to follow up and to follow through. And I think when you have the courage, it comes out of a really strong care. You do care about the people. You really do mind that there's so much unfair happening around you that you have the courage to speak up. So the care element is maybe even stronger because that pushes the courage to speak up. And then I think the curiosity piece is, and I see that in our daughter as well, very curious, when you meet new people. So where are you from? What have you been doing? And this also leads us into various paths in life, because when you're curious, people are also eager to share their knowledge and to teach, to guide. And I think I've been very fortunate then to experience so many incredible places, people, and stories, thanks to the curiosity. Yeah,
I
and
love
I'm
that. It's
a lifelong learner because of this curiosity, for sure, for sure.
yeah. We will never stop learning with the
Stop.
curious mindset. And the
No.
more you learn, the more you realize how little you know, which
Yeah.
also gives you a humbleness. But
Yeah.
I actually saw some interesting stuff the other day about everyone knows what the IQ is, but also the EQ. But now there is a new quota raising around curiosity. So curiosity ability, because this one is more linked to an action than only tell someone is intelligent or having empathy doesn't necessarily mean you take action. So the curiosity is it's growing a lot around curiosity, which is a good thing, right?
Yes,
Yeah.
absolutely. So that leads us on different paths that we probably wouldn't explore without being curious if we stay in our
No.
corner. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But I wonder a little bit how is the DEIB aligned with your own purpose and goals?
Yeah. So again, linking back to what I said around, how I've been raised and how this has been part of my DNA, it's part of who I am. I think diversity, yes, comes also then, you need to be curious to lean into what's not maybe exactly what you're used to, opposite, maybe different. Embrace the difference and welcome the differences. See them as a strength, whether it is differences in terms of attributes or experiences or personalities or thoughts, because that collective result, when we come in with all of this, really creates a rich discussion, rich and I would say innovative solution, products, services, and that's linked to also the business imperative of this topic. So that's the diversity and inclusion piece has been is linked again to standing up and to speaking up, to making sure that it's a fair environment where you're included. And of course, also, it's much more fun to be part of an inclusive environment, be it at work or with the family or friends. When you come and you feel that you belong and you are inclusive, and we have like really, it's a room for challenging, for tense discussions. But we know always the intention is good. There is absolutely room to be yourself, to come as you are, as we say at ABB, and sense of belonging, yet daring to challenge, daring to have a heated debate or bring different perspectives. I think this is it's very interlinked again. It's for me not, I'm like this at work and this at home. It's really an integrated part. Yeah.
And how do you see your role promoting those topics internally? Because you cannot run all this yourself, even though you're the role model for it. But how do you build a governance and foster an inclusive culture within ABB and make sure that it spills out in the whole organization?
I see myself as a facilitator of change. And when I was so lucky to be asked to take this role in 2018, my first element of change was to say, okay, we need to have leadership on board. So we need to see this again, leadership role modeling. We need to see ownership, accountability at the highest level. And as we launched then the 2030 strategy in January 21, we also were very privileged to have our CEO, the executive sponsor. And with that, of course, comes attention, comes focus, comes gravity towards what is important. We got it on the agenda. The CEO always is taking real actions. We're signing the UN Women Empowerment Principles. We launched the global parental leave. So really, then the foundations. So again, it's really about stakeholder management to understand how can we get this positioned to succeed. Then we built the strategy around three pillars: governance, inclusive leadership and culture, and partnerships. And then that is kind of the three pillars that we believe drive success. And then driving inclusion across all dimensions. It's not like, okay, project gender, project LGBTQ. No, this is about, okay, how can we have systemic elements and governance in place? How can we ensure that we have the culture that is absolutely foundational for succeeding with this topic? And how can we also have key partnerships on a global level, but also much more importantly, how is this then translated into meaningful actions in the 100+ countries? Because it's the same to drive this agenda in Sweden, Norway, versus India, Saudi Arabia, China, US, and so on. So again, really getting the awareness, accountability, and the strategy in place, then ensuring that we have this translated into ownership on the business area, division, and the countries. And of course, the country is incredibly important in driving. So that is, again, facilitating this, utilizing the resources, the sponsors, utilizing the energy we have in the various pockets to create success stories, to celebrate those, to inspire others. We started with very, very little. Now I'm in the backseat. I'm applauding. I'm guiding. I am really just, we have a long way to go in many aspects, but I'm seeing the willingness and the energy and the accountability and the power driven at the forefront through also our employee resource groups, which is an important force of change on the ground.
And I guess you've done some trial and errors along the way. Would you like to share a little bit, maybe lessons learned, what has been the tough parts to overcome to become even more successful?
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. I think the message is that if you are in this space, as you know, we are in here for the long haul. This is not a short term thinking. It's not a quick fix. This is about being persistent, resilient, and of course, also ensuring that it's owned by everyone. I think that the challenge, a couple of challenges that I would like to highlight in this context is one thing is to get, you know, really the top level ownership and support. It was also, I would say, a pure joy to support the growth of our employee resource groups on the ground, to get, you know, the networks created by employees for employees. Then almost like a sandwich, like, okay, so how are we able to penetrate all the layers in this huge company of 105,000 plus people? And I think that the biggest challenge has been to really reach all the levels, especially maybe, you know, country minus one and so on, because there's so much operational things happening also in many of the places. So it's like, oh, but I want to, but I have no time. So to change that mindset, that this is not on top of, this is a way of driving the business. This is a way of behaving. This is a way of us doing everything. It should be embedded. So I think that has been, and still is, a challenge to make sure it lands in all the pockets. And then, of course, it's challenging. Certain of our dimensions are very sensitive in certain parts of the world. And we want to push the agenda. We want to be progressive. At the same time, it's important for me that we respect the local culture. Of course, we need to respect the legislation, but also the maturity in terms of the culture. So so then finding that balance, when we launched our LGBTQ plus agenda in 21, the first Pride Month ever globally, we went, I was extremely proud, I must say, of what we stood for and how we pushed it, thanks to the EC sponsor, the General Council at that time, with the rainbow flag and really the full commitment, signing the UN commitment and so on. But we got a lot of pushback and reaction as well, right? Which I said, let's welcome that. We need to also be open to hear other people's view. And I think it's a good thing that people feel safe to come up and say, well, we do think so and so, and we disagree, and so fine. So we could have a dialogue. It was I would say a long dialogue, but the success piece of this one was the year after people realized that we mean it, and it's not that there is a foundation of respect and code of conduct and elements that is non-negotiable. If you like it or not, that's another thing. But there are certain elements that we expect as a company based on our values, our code of conduct, and integrity, of course. And then to gradually get this under the skin and penetrate it in a different level, that takes time. But I have seen a great dialogue, openness. But yet for me, it's important to be mindful that it will take time, and we will not succeed if we go on the barricades and we push. We need to also have an openness to listen.
And do you see a clear, like, before the strategy and now after, as you would say, in this intense journey you have done so far?
All of us have done. I think this is very important to say that it's all of us together who have been doing this. This is really a collective effort. I think so. We should ask our employees, right? But for me, the feedback is that they feel it, and the newcomers joining ABB, they are incredibly amazed by the inclusive culture, but by also the clear support to the various dimensions, and how we also celebrate and support minorities and ensure to drive the systemic changes as well. So yes, and we do check this in terms of the engagement survey. We have different questions around inclusive culture, fair treatment, do I trust my leader, and so on. And all of these measures have been increasing, and we're really, very, very good evidence of progress in also the numbers.
I just have a little curious question to you two, who really navigate in this global world with lots of different values, legislation, but also, I mean, now when there are so many countries in 1 year, historically, most elections in 1 year ever, where that will affect like more than half of the population on Earth. I mean, all those opinions and tension that is out there in the society, do you also experience that in the company? Does people bring their opinions, political opinions, and ideas on how the world should look like into ABB?
Yeah, I think that's very relevant. I mean, the geopolitical situation, the election that you're saying, I mean, the tensions, the polarization. I mean, that's something that is very challenging. We, of course, mirror society with 105,000 employees. We also mirror the rest of the society internally. However, I have not experienced more polarization or more disputes or more discussions. And our numbers are showing that the inclusive, the trust the leader, I feel respected, all of these are going in the right way. So it
That's
might
wonderful.
be, it might be that, with the slogan we have used strongly, come as you are, that we have been able to create a safe space where you can come and you can discuss without this creating tension or leading to conflict and so on. But in general, I would say yes, of course, we mirror society also at this huge company. But I saw more of those discussions and so on at the beginning of the strategy. So why change? Why do we need to have this? Why focus on women? Why? Because we hadn't so strongly done that. And I think because we have done it now in the fourth year of the strategy, people know that this is not going away. It's linked also to the financial structures and so on, linked to the bonus system at the highest level, and so on. So it's in the structures. It's in now in the culture. So I think we are strong as a company, also protecting us from what's happening a bit outside it. Of course, we are influenced by the geopolitical scenery as well.
But that's amazing, and he to hear. And what would you point out as your most important part of the strategy to make this long-term and sustainable, and actually make this happen?
Again, I think it's about starting point with leadership. Without leadership role modeling, with leadership action, verbally and physically role modeling what we want to drive, you will not see it. So it you know it does, and it doesn't help that someone up there is telling the story about the why and the how and so on. You need to live it also at all levels. So your direct line manager is key to how you perceive, of course, inclusion, respect, belonging, and so on. But I think that number one element for me also when I started, it's like, okay, if we don't have that piece with us, we will never succeed.
No.
So that's number one. And then,
Yeah.
of course, being clear on the targets, embedding that in so it comes
Yeah.
again and again, because it cannot just be a commitment and no clear targets, no follow-up, no reward, no punishment, if you will,
No.
So I remember when we started, it was on the gender agenda purely, and I tried to create some kind of healthy competition. So I said top three divisions and bottom three divisions in terms of female representation, and I can tell you can do a lot, by small measures like this to create, oops, I don't want to be bottom three, or
No.
yes, I love to be top three, and I will continue to, So
Yeah.
there's a lot of things you can do in between also driving this. But for leadership, and we know that starting from the top, that transpires throughout the hierarchy as well. And I must say, huge kudos to the leadership at ABB. It's incredible to see. And I've been here 23 years, and yeah, I am very, very proud of our leadership for many reasons, but of course, in this context, owning this, prompting this, living this, supporting this topic. Yeah.
And I know many who listen to this are a bit curious about what programs you have been running for, well, minority groups within the companies or also outside the companies. Do you have any specific programs that you would like to share us with?
Yeah, for the minorities, yes. I think, so we have each of the dimensions have the separate roadmap with an action plan on how to create awareness, how to go to action, and of course, then the systemic piece. I think important programs have been for us the mentor programs and reverse mentoring programs, but not alone, but also sponsor programs, which is much more about also not only supporting where you are, but also making sure that you are being sponsored in a broader context. I think the programs, which has not been kind of owned by us but supported, which has been a huge factor of change, has been the big growth of employee resource networks. So that people actually join the networks where they can have their discussions, where they can channel their thoughts, frustrations, and the passions, and then be a mirror back to us in terms of how to be guided. Another important element, or a couple of them that I think has been substantial, is the global parental leave that we launched in June 21. As we know, equality starts at home. And it's not, I mean, we can do so much at work, but it's a collaboration across all sectors, government, private sector, civil society, and of course, at the end of the day, at home. So how are you raised? What are you doing? How are you sharing tasks? Who is picking, if you have children, who is picking up? The child is sick. I mean, all of these elements, elderly parents. I mean, we are whole people. We have a full life, not only from 8 to 5 at work. And I think the global parental leave, gender neutral, not discriminating, any in terms of genders and so on. I think that was a huge victory for us to launch in our 100 countries. Making sure that we're lifting the baseline for everyone. And then, of course, also how we have been training more than now 10,000 leaders on how to interrupt unconscious bias and become an inclusive leader. Very important, the leadership piece. But then, I mean, I could mention a lot of things because there are so many elements. This needs to be injected into every process. You need to feel it. I remember. One of our divisions had a town hall speaking about this. Very, very strong dedication from that division. After the town hall meeting, an email went to all employees with a message, but the photo was extremely homogeneous with one gender, one color, one and so on, age group. And I got a lot of reactions. They channeled it to me like, "Wow, we are hearing this, but we're seeing that." which I was like, wow, thank you for telling. I will of course support in this change. So how is the narrative? How do you communicate? What are the visuals you're using, the language you're using? So it needs to be, you know, a holistic approach to inclusion that you can feel, you can live, and you can join. So it's not only about programs, but it's about the systemic application of the policies that we are having, the communication, how we support the ERGs, you know. So it's very complex, but I think you know what I mean. It needs to be lived in all of the aspects.
Yeah. And I'm also thinking, like, there is a little setback on DEI being the world right now. And because of maybe a few do bad, we get new regulations and reporting requirements that is heavy for small companies, but also obviously for large companies. But I wonder a little bit in like, if you would see in 10 years and look back on the past 10 years, where are those topics heading, you think? What are the biggest trends around us that will somehow affect these topics in the right direction or not?
Yeah, I think we need to learn to live, you know, with uncertainty. We need to learn to navigate a very complex landscape. I think we need to learn to adapt quickly, and that we can only influence this much. So trying to then say what can we control and what is out of our control, but then making sure that we stand firm on our values and our beliefs in terms of what is within our perimeter of responsibility. I don't think the complexity of the world will go away. I think it will probably continue. I hope, of course, that it will go in the right direction towards a more inclusive and peaceful world. That's for sure extremely important. But at the same time, whilst we're seeing a more prosperous future, we need to manage what we can manage. So making sure that we are having the inclusive policy, that we are having leadership that is supportive of the direction we want to go, making sure that we do our community work, that we also contribute where we can influence and push the agenda, not only within the workplace, but also marketplace and community. With such a huge company presence, we also have muscles to make a change. So I'm hoping for a more prosperous, peaceful world, yet I know that things are changing fast. It's a VUCA world, and let's make sure to at least be robust and resilient to manage what we can manage.
Amazing. And Heidi, with all your experience and insights along your journey in this topic, what would you pass on as one most important reflection or recommendation to a company or to a leader who is in the beginning of their journey?
Yeah, maybe to start with the fact that it takes all of us to succeed and that every action matters. Because very often I have leaders coming and say, I would love to do something, but I don't have the budget, or I cannot. And I'm like, no. It's not about budget. It's not about huge programs. It's about you, how you act every day when you go into that canteen, when you open up that Teams meeting, how you greet everyone, how you make sure everyone is heard around that virtual table or physical meeting table, how you ensure a diverse slate when you're recruiting, how you ensure that you have equal distribution when you're promoting people, whether it is through leadership trainings or to other jobs and so on. But also, of course, how you are acting as a human being. You don't need to be a leader, but also a colleague, a friend, and all of this. So to create a society, to create a culture, it takes all of us to be, you know, with that mindset of inclusion. That's number one. So there are so many things you can do without having to have a budget or huge initiatives and programs. So that's my first. And then it's also to think about, okay, how do you, I'm trying also to look at how can I influence in the local community? What can I do to also spread this outside of the perimeter of work? I think that is also very fulfilling. So that is another element. But then again, the basic principles of driving diversity and inclusion strategy, of launching it and getting it off the ground in these kind of companies with the footprint of of the sites we have is, again, leadership commitment, employee resource groups, people movement on the ground, clear targets, and rigor in terms of follow-up. And then making sure this kind of is embedded with the culture we want to drive throughout the of all levels.
Amazing. Thank you so, so much, Heidi. Together we walk the talk, and we are so proud to have you in this conversation and also our collaboration between Bitlead and ABB, because we always say at Bitlead, if you want to go fast, you go alone. If you want to go far, we go together, and we are the change we wish to see. So thank you so much, Heidi, for joining us today, and wish you a wonderful day, and to keep shining. We need more role models like Heidi out there. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Sophia. It was great to be here. And yes, we will walk far together.
Thank you.